Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter.
Afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
He presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Luther preached on Ephesians 4, the great ascension text, in 1527. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He who had descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Luther says, Christ experienced a deeper humiliation than any mere man could know. He was subjected to the law, the devil, death, sin, and hell. In death indeed, the last and deepest depth. For what reason? Luther says he's the Durchbrecher. He's the guy who breaks through to heaven. He's the guy who does it for us. There's nothing lower than the depths he suffered and nothing higher than the right hand of God to which he ascended. St. Paul looks to Psalm 68, which is quoted, with sharp eyes, says Luther. What does Christ do in his ascension? Does he sit on a golden stool and let angels entertain him? No. He takes captivity captive and gives gifts to men. You, my friends, were captive to law, sin, death, hell without Christ. The ascension means freedom from the curse of the law, eternal life. It means now that Christ is the devil's devil. The devil's got a devil, says Luther, and eternal life is yours. So today's gospel says, he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs. Proofs. The word only occurs once in the whole New Testament, right there. It means certain proofs. So that his apostles and his disciples could see him and know that it happened. Why? So that they could be witnesses to this truth. Official, legal witnesses to the resurrection. The apostles filled Judas's spot. What was the condition? Somebody who had been with us from the beginning, John's baptism on, seen it all, heard the Lord speak, saw him do what he did, and a witness to the resurrection. Witnesses testify to the facts, just the facts. Witnesses are important. They have legal status. And this was a legal activity, this resurrection. The greatest legal activity, the justification of all sinners. The apostles wrote down their witness, Matthew and John. And the apostolic hangers-on wrote, that means evangelists Mark and Luke. They wrote their witness as a powerful testimony to all of us, so that those who have not seen may yet believe. John talked about what he had seen and heard and touched. He proclaimed, and that brought fellowship and joy, he said. Why do we believe these accounts? Well, they come as the Word of God to us. Christ is risen is the Word of God. Christ is ascended is the Word of God. Christ has led captivity captive is the Word of God. Those facts strike you and create faith. And they're yours simply by the belief that these words create. I tell you, Christ is yours. He rose for you and he ascended for you. The Gospels are delightfully unified and yet diverse. They're hard to harmonize. They're unique accounts, usually two to a Gospel, that don't occur similarly in all the other Gospels. They're hard to put together. It's exactly what you would expect from four different guys writing with some common information, yet writing from their own perspective to their own audiences. Far from being proof that they're fake, it shows them to be quite true. Why believe the accounts? Why believe these proofs? Well, consider this. Nobody ever came forward. Now, there were people who said the resurrection, ascension never occurred, that his body was stolen. That was argued right from the beginning. But nobody who was ever within the band of the apostles or the disciples after, nobody ever came forward and said, or wrote, which was perfectly, which they were perfectly able to do. Nobody ever came forward and said, I was with those guys and they're lying. Didn't happen. Not a one of them. Why should we believe? I was bobbing on the Bay of St. Paul, south of Malta, in a small boat. And I asked the pilot of the boat who has lived there his whole life, I said, where do you think the shipwreck was from the book of Acts? Right away, he said, it's got to be there. It's got to be right off that sandbar. He'd studied it, thought about it his whole life. Get off the boat. Oh, there's a chapel up the hill. It's the spot where Paul was bitten by the snake. There's no reason to believe it isn't the spot. The locals preserved it from the beginning. The last Pope, Benedict, allowed Paul's tomb to be opened in St. Paul's outside the wall. It wasn't open, I'm sorry. They drilled a little hole in it, and they sent a little device in there, picked a few bones and some material, and guess what they found? The bones of a first or second century man dressed in Jewish clothing. There's no reason to doubt it. These guys actually existed. They were real and actual witnesses. And you know what happened to them all? Virtually all of them suffered martyrs' deaths, which are historically testified to, even with great archaeological evidence. You have to wade through a lot of nonsense in Rome, but Lutheran scholars have little doubt. Hermann Sasse didn't have doubt that the archaeological dig under St. Peter's did, in fact, find Peter's tomb. And you know what happened to these guys? They all died violent deaths, bearing witness to Christ. Who would have possibly gone out and spoken of Christ's death and resurrection to die for it, if it were false? They, in fact, bore witness, which was exactly their job. We cannot bear witness to what we have seen and heard. There's an apostolic compulsion. It has to happen for them to be who they are as God's own apostles, God's sent one. And we see in the text, the sending goes on. Jesus sent them. And we know the church's job is to go. You are sent to wherever you are. You are a little apostle, sent to your family, sent to your workplace, sent to your cubicle, sent to tell the person next to you, you're forgiven. Christ has made captivity captive. Be of good cheer, even if it's difficult. Christ is risen and ascended. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.